Greetings, I'm Noel Deere. Welcome to today's Daily Devotion. I hope these next few minutes will encourage you as you seek to learn God's Word and abide with Christ. Our focus today is John chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. And today we come to the very familiar account of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Now, this is the only miracle that takes place in all four Gospels. It's recorded, I should say, in all four Gospels. And I just think that makes it special. I love studying and imagining the details of this miracle. Now, I think for our purposes, we're going to divide it up into two devotions. We'll look at the first half today, and we'll look at the second half in our next daily devotion. Let's begin. Chapter 6, verse 1, after this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. The phrase after this is just a reminder to us that John's gospel, different than the gospel of Matthew, the gospel of Mark, and the gospel of Luke, John's gospel doesn't seek to provide a chronological history of the ministry of Christ. It's more thematic, and so it skips a lot of material that the other gospels include, and this is an example. Those two words after this, they cover at least Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and Jesus preaching on the parables of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13. Those were pretty important parts of Jesus' ministry. They're recorded in the other gospels. But John is quickly moving to this great miracle that we see here in John chapter 6. Now, he says the Sea of Galilee. Much of Jesus' ministry, much of what we read in the gospels, happens right around the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee was not a sea in the sense that it is connected to the ocean. The Sea of Galilee was a freshwater lake, a large lake. It's 13 miles north and south, 7.5 miles east and west at the widest point. So it's a pretty big lake, but it is a lake. It's called by a number of different names in the Bible, and this can be confusing at times. Not only is it called the Sea of Galilee, but also the Sea of Chinnereth. It's sometimes called the Lake of Gennesaret, and it's sometimes called the Sea of Tiberias. And there are reasons for all those names, but just suffice it for now to know that all those names refer to the same body of water. So Jesus has gone to the Sea of Galilee. He has crossed the sea, and he's there in a field next to the Sea of Galilee. Look at verse 2. A huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. And so Jesus' popularity is on the rise. He's performed a lot of miracles. People have taken notice, and they're following him. Verse 3, Jesus went up a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. So around the Sea of Galilee, big hills. In fact, hills is probably not the word. Mountains, really, all around the Sea of Galilee. They're big mountains. Now, Jesus didn't go up a great mountain here where he was so far away you couldn't see him, but he goes up a ways. But the Sea of Galilee, just to help you get the picture, the Sea of Galilee is actually 700 feet below sea level. And then it's ringed by mountains that are very high above sea level. And so it's really in this bowl, if you will, down into the earth. And so Jesus goes up one of these hills a little ways so that he can speak to the people. Verse 4, now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. Near in time, not near in location. There are three Passovers mentioned in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, chapter 6, chapter 12. This is the only one of those three mentioned that Jesus doesn't go to Jerusalem to participate in the Passover. Verse 5, so when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip was one of his disciples, where will we buy bread so that these people can eat? Of course, there were no restaurants in that day, the way we think of a restaurant anyway. And the people would have traveled a long distance. They couldn't just go back home, drive back home to get some food at the end of the day. They'd be camping there before they could get back home. So food was important. So Jesus sees the crowd coming, and he turns to Philip, and he asks Philip, one of the disciples, how will we feed these people? Now, that was a problem. And if you read all four gospel accounts, you'll see that four different solutions were proposed. In the Gospel of Mark, it's suggested that they maybe just send the people away. Just say, hey, we can't handle you. We don't have food. Leave us. Here in John, we'll see that there is a suggestion, at least part of a suggestion, that they raise money to feed them. Andrew, also here in the Gospel of John, is going to suggest that they somehow use this small lunch that a young boy has provided to perhaps feed the people. And then there's the final solution, Jesus. Jesus is the one who provides the ultimate answer. But let's read on. Verse 6, he asked this to test him. Jesus asked this of Philip to test Philip, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Now, a test in this sense would be something that would be difficult to endure, but it's something that would strengthen a person's faith. And this certainly qualifies as that. But many scholars believe that the purpose of verse 6 was more to indicate that Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. Jesus was not in a panic. He had a plan the whole time. I think that's encouraging. That's important to know that when there is a crisis, a perceived crisis, we can know Jesus knew about it and Jesus has a plan. Look at verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. Now, denarii was a day's wage. So this is 200 days wages. That's a lot of money, Verse 8, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, verse 9, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many? So that's the third suggestion. Barley loaves and fish, this would have been food for the poor. So we know that this boy was from a poor family. Everybody else had apparently eaten their food, but he still had his, and he offers it. Now, we'll come back to that, but notice here that no one has responded in any way that affirmed the power of Jesus to provide. You know, sometimes people make a joke about this. They say, well, in a lighthearted way, that the disciples traveling with Jesus, they didn't need anything because Jesus could just whip it up whatever they needed when they needed. Well, certain amount of truth to that, I suppose. Yet we fail to remember that we too walk with Jesus. And we often make Jesus, appealing to the power of Jesus, our last resort instead of our first resort. That was their last resort. Nobody even mentioned maybe Jesus could bring resolution to this problem. We should make our appeal to Jesus our first plan. But if you know the rest of the story, you know that this little boy's humble lunch becomes a key piece to the miracle that Jesus will perform. So Jesus will take this little lunch, 5 little biscuits, if you will, and a couple of fish and small fish, and Jesus will multiply this. But what I want you to notice is that the miracle began with this little boy giving all that he had. Jesus can do amazing things when we just give him everything we have. Did it matter that the boy didn't have very much? No, it didn't matter at all. It only mattered that the boy gave it to Jesus. Would it have been easier for Jesus had the boy had 6 loaves and 3 fish instead of 5 loaves and 2 fish? That wouldn't have been any easier if the boy would have had a little more. Would it have been any harder had the boy only had 4 loaves and 1.5 fish? No. What mattered is that he gave it all to Jesus. And there's an important lesson for us in that. We'll end with verse 10. Jesus said, have the people sit down. And there was plenty of grass in that place. So they sat down and the men numbered 5,000. We'll come back to that. The miracle begins right here and in this next verse. Well, let's pause there. There's a lot to learn there. And we'll finish this tomorrow, Lord willing, or in our next devotion, Lord willing. Thanks for watching or listening today. If you're on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe buttons on your favorite podcasting app. Just search for Pastor Noel's Daily Devotions. Further info at noeldeer.com. I hope you have a great day as you endeavor to abide in Christ.